celebrate and to commemorate the second anniversary of this series, which I actually should have, it did happen yesterday, but I forgot to do this. I'm wearing the shirt, I'm wearing the same shirt I wore on show number one. And what do we have here on a Friday? We have show number 492. So 492 days later, I started this show number one, in the bunker. You remember the bunker days in Sao Paulo, Brazil. I wore this shirt on that day. It's a little worse for the wear, as you can see on the laundry cam. That's not, no, it's not a laundry issue. It's a sewing issue. You think, well, Martin, there's been some insects that have been eating your shirt. No, I think that is probably me eating my shirt, because when I'm thinking or when I'm pondering, when I'm writing, I'm always chewing on my shirts. I realized how many nice shirts I was ruining, including this one. I'm going to fold it over so you can't see it. So now I've taken to eating paper towels. You see, I keep a roll of paper towels here. I chew on these. I chew them into little wet balls. I do. I'm not ashamed to admit it. It's cheaper than cigarettes. I don't smoke cigarettes. So look, see, I do peel these off one at a time, like taking a cigarette out of a pack. I'll stick it in my mouth like this on the corner. I'll start doing this, and I'll chew it, and I'll write. This is how I write. If you see me writing my articles or my books, this is what you would see, unless I'm in a public place, and then I just suffer. And I chew, and I chew, and I don't even think about it, because my mind's on my work. Before I know it, I've got the paper towel reduced to a little wet ball. It might take, I'm doing it fast now just to demonstrate to you. It may take 20 minutes. About time it takes to smoke a cigarette, I can eat a paper towel. And I have to get the unbleached towels, because I find that if I eat the mainstream paper, I don't believe in mainstream anything, not even mainstream paper towels. I find that if I eat a mainstream paper towel, I will get that bleach and all the crap that's in it. And doesn't treat me well. So I get these pure and holy paper towels that have no bleach, so I don't get weird. See, I eat those mainstream paper towels and I start to get a little weird. It's probably worse for me than a cigarette with all the crap they put on them. Why do you have to do that? Why do they have to add crap to paper towels? I don't know. Okay. Now, I was quoting to you an article from Michael Medved, written in the Jewish magazine Moment, back in 1996, a magazine founded by 1975 Nobel Prize laureate Elie Wiesel, who, famous Israelite known for human rights activity and generally being an upstanding personage of great intellect, as the Jews generally are. Now, where did we leave off? Oh, the name of this. Let me show you. I'll just show you the cover of the magazine. It's called Jews Run Hollywood, So What? I'm showing you on the cam, on the laundry cam here. I'm pointing it in the general direction. I can't see what I'm pointing at. It's Moment Magazine. I hope you can see it. Who knows? Jews Run Hollywood, So What? All right. It's by Michael Medved. And here we're back with you now. All right, to pick up where I left off, we were saying how Jews like to put Jews in a good light. Of course, well, if you control the media and if you control movies and if you have the say of what goes out to the public, then of course you're going to do that. It's absolutely true. Flattering Jewish writers and directors employ unquestionably flattering depictions of Jews for audiences to react with sympathy and affection. Interestingly, Medved also pointed out that the general public was aware of the Jewish control of Hollywood, and that this degenerative effect was the cause of resentment. They see, people see a degenerative effect. I'm not the only one that sees movies as part of the cultural rot. It's cultural rot. They glorify violence. They glorify sex. I'm okay with that. They glorify cheating and stealing and bang, 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 bang. It's just morally unsound, these movies, and the message is not always, stellar. homosexuality working its way into men lying with men, that's not a good thing. I talked about this before. You know which part of that is not the good thing. Poll after poll, taken over the past 10 years, this is a quote from the article, shows that the public believes this industry is more firmly associated with Jews than any other business in the world. That is almost universally viewed as a destructive force in our society. That it is almost universally viewed as a destructive force should be of concern, says Medved. And he ends with this significant remark. Listen to this. Quote, the combined weight of so many Jews in one of America's most lucrative and important industries, and mind you, this man himself is a Jew, gives the Jews of Hollywood a great deal of political power. Isn't that weird that politics can be, what Lexi Martin, what is the correlation between politics and entertainment? It's this. Entertainment is the pill. Entertainment is the capsule that delivers the medicine or the poison, as the case may be, into your system. They're not giving you their ideology directly because it would be repulsive, but they're demoralizing these people in control of things. They're demoralizing you. They're giving you their godless scenarios, their eat, drink, and be merry for today scenarios, their violent scenarios, their you don't have to put up with any crap. You just shoot people who offend you, or you can have attitudes. You got to be cool. All the music and the attitude. But what people, wait, let me make sure I'm seeing. People have this attitude. They're like, it's right. And when you see people in interviews, they're always like, especially sports figures, that's just great, man. We gave 100% of our effort. And how'd you feel when you caught that football? I mean, it was so fantastic. There's this swagger today that's undeniable. People are trying to be so cool. And what's this hand gesture when you see the rap music? Just do all this, like, that's right, I'm cool. People got to get a clue that you're a son or a daughter of Adam. You're really not that cool. Honestly, if you could look at yourself from an aerial viewpoint of how, for instance, God sees you. I mean, God accepts you and all that because Christ died for you. But you're really making an ass of yourself. You're really only big babies. And these people that jump around on TV and clap and get all excited. And it's just, to me, it's beyond the pale. I can't imagine how this could be. It's because there's this subtext coming through entertainment that you are the most important piece of God's creation. You. Now, in a sense, this is true. And that's the best way to get falsehood out, is to make it look true. Are you important? Yes. Are you an individual? Of course. Of course. But you're not the be-all, end-all. This 15 minutes of fame thing that everybody wants, that's embodied in these reality TV stars, quote-unquote, the Kardashians or whoever you want to look at. I don't know too many of them. It's an epidemic of people wanting to be important and not feeling that they are important unless they show up as at least a blip in popular culture. Now look, if the purest joy for me, for anybody, is to give up on popular culture, is to realize that the acceptance of popular culture is actually a mark against you. If the world loves you, you have problems. Something is wrong. And so I used to, when I was a writer in the early days, in the mid-80s, I wanted to show up on the radar of popular culture because I thought that was a mark of success. And this is what they want you to think. And this, how does this happen? It happens via the global influence of the entertainment industry. They want you to feel important, and they will give you an opportunity, if they're gracious enough, to give you your 15 minutes of fame. Oh, thank you, popular culture. And then you're beholden to them. If that's the birth of your fame, that's the death of your fame. The birth of my fame is my own little show here on the internet. And so the mass media can't take it away because mass media didn't create it. So I'm privileged to be small yet noble. But people are sold this lie that this is what makes them matter when they appear on television. And when millions of people care about them, that makes them matter. This is all setting these same people are being set up now for the ultimate matter to be part of this one world system that has finally reached nirvana, or as close to it as can be attained in this world. People want to be a part of something great. That's why this stupid environmental movement, how much of a draw that is to people to save the earth. Look, you can save the earth. You want to save the earth? Oh, I do. I want to have an important job, and my job sucks, and all I do is put little widgets on little widgets, and I widgetize widgets on a factory line. My life doesn't matter, but you're telling me I can save the planet? How do I do it? Well, just recycle. Separate plastic from glass and do your part. And so people are doing their part for a larger cause to save the earth. Well, that's all a lie anyway. So it's a false sense of importance. And any sense of importance given to you that's associated with a global outlook today is false. Do not trust it. It's false. Another way to say that is it's not true. And so this is true importance, what we are doing in the corners, in the small, still, quiet voice where God speaks. God doesn't literally speak. He speaks through his scriptures. And again, I've already told you how boring the scriptures are. I don't see the Kardashians reading scriptures on TV. I don't see any reality TV shows of a guy looking through a concordance so that he can make a 15-minute show from a laundry room. Although, I think it would be a good series if I was the star of it, because I really do. See, there's a little bit of this in me too, because I'm not your standard typical over-the-counter, off-the-rack evangelistic dude, am I? No. I distinguish myself in many ways. For instance, the shirts that I wear, from your high-profile tele-evangelist. I haven't seen any of them wearing this. T.D. Jakes has never worn a shirt like this. Joel Osteen does not wear shirts like this on his program when he broadcasts to the world from an auditorium filled with 10,000 sycophants. No, he doesn't. So popular culture is no gauge. So this whole thrust of the media, there's reasons behind it. It's not by accident. Again, I don't necessarily saddle the people responsible, the Jews, with purposely doing it to decay the morals of society, to make people think that appearing on television means that you're successful. But this is just what is happening. It's grooming an entire generation, several generations by this time, but more so now than ever, to think that being accepted by lots of people is the best. The global government that's coming will contain lots of people. It will lure lots of people to the point that our Lord said, and I'm going to continue to repeat this verse to you, that if it were possible, even the elect would be deceived. Talk about mainstream. And where is this stream going? That is the second part of the phrase mainstream. The stream is like a river. It's more like a waterfall. Let's call it Niagara Falls. It's the Niagara River running over the cliffs and crashing down on the rocks. That's the end of this stream. The Word of God, the message of Paul, is God picking people out of this stream. Never forget, the first time I went to Niagara Falls as a kid, my parents took me there. My sister will remember this too. Hi, Kelly. We read the story of the guy in the boat who stupidly had his little rowboat or his little tiny motorboat going to the edge of the Niagara River. This was in the 60s. And there was a girl on the boat with this guy. James Honeycutt was the guy's name. Where did I pull that name from? Wow. And the boat capsized. The guy went down with the boat. The girl came out of the boat. And she was screaming, her hands going down the main stream, going down the main stream. And she was carried away by the current. This was at the Horseshoe Falls, I believe. No, it was the American Falls. And there was a guy who was grabbing onto the rail from the shore. And he saw this happening. And he grabbed onto the rail with his right hand and with his left hand, stretched out as far as he could, grabbed this girl, teenage girl from the precipice of the American Falls, this girl who would plunge to her certain death, as the operator of the boat did. She was on board with him, came out, grabbed at the last second by this man who stretched out to reach her, grabbed her by the wrist, pulled her to safety. This is what is happening today. And this is the purpose of our evangel, to pull people from the stream, the mainstream death ride of acceptability, of being popular, of being recognized, of being known. This is carrying the world to destruction, but it's not carrying us. We're being plucked from it, from the jaws of death, into the life of the gospel of peace.